fourth time this morning. The Lord impressed on me to share this morning about delegated authority and power. And it goes right along with the authority of the believers teaching that. How many are in that class? There's a bunch of you, I know. It's awesome. Is that what you said? Yeah. Everybody needs, you know, if you can't make it for time-wise, you know, order that workbook. It's worth its weight in gold, multiplied. More than that. That book probably only weighs a pound and a half, and it's worth more than a pound and a half of gold. It's worth unlimited treasures because of what God has delegated to you and to me. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's. The earth belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. But I want you to see something in Psalm 115, if you would. The physical planet belongs to God. It's His. He created it. It's His toy, so to speak. Remember when you were a kid and you got a toy? You know, that's mine. Well, the earth is God's. But He's blessed us by being here, hasn't He? Beautiful day like today. Some of you are going to go boating. Some of you are going to go to the beach, have a picnic, whatever. You're going to enjoy what God has done. Go for a bike ride. Amen. But in Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. The earth He has given to the children of men. He did not give us the planet terra firma. He gave us the authority and dominion in this planet that He owns. And He wants us to run it according to His kingdom. And His kingdom we're going to see, well, let's just continue. So it's not ownership that we have, but rulership and dominion. God created you and me to rule. Now, maybe you've not heard that before, but we're going to look at Scripture. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to cover a lot of ground, so to speak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, or verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. In the Amplified, it says, for the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel. We see over in Mark chapter 4 when Jesus is teaching on sowing and reaping, and He said that that was the master key to how we operate in God's kingdom. And He said that in the first one, when the seed's sown by the wayside, He says, what happens is when you don't understand it, in Luke's account of it in chapter 8, He says, the devil comes to steal it away. And so He'll steal away the word that's been sown. So everybody here today and on the internet are hearing the audible sounds of my voice and the word of God. But if you don't purpose to have ears to hear it, Satan's going to steal it from you. And you'll have just wasted your time based on the word of God. So you need to have a desire. Jesus said multiple times, have ears to hear. That means with our hearts, we need to desire to hear His word and then to know and understand it. And then for all of that to work in your life, you have to apply it to your life. That's why we said in the song we sang, we believe it. You want your chains broken. You believe that, but you've got to do something about it. You've got to receive it. Amen. And there's different ways you can receive that. And we're not going to talk about that today, but it's so. So anyway, we see that Satan is the god of this world system, little s, little god, little g. I don't give him any place with a capital G. Matter of fact, anytime I write in my notes Satan, I write with the smallest s that I can. to show me how little he is. He's a big noisemaker, but Jesus is the chain breaker. I'd rather have someone that could break the chains than just blow a lot of hot air. Amen? So, just quickly, what happened in the garden when Adam and Eve transgressed? What did they lose? Well, they lost the domain that God gave them. They lost the dominion. They lost the authority. They lost the kingdom. The kingdom is God's operating system. God put it in Adam, and then Adam, when he bowed to Satan and he yielded and ate that fruit, he gave away that authority that was given to him. He gave it away. You can see that in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was being tempted by Satan. And let's just turn over there because you need to see this. You know, Jesus and Satan talked. Guess who won? Guess who ended? There was no debate. There was no argument. Jesus pretty much said, it is written. He was being tempted in chapter 4. Well, let's go to verse 1. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's important because Jesus was a man. And everything he did as a man. Didn't do it as God, even though he was fully God. Philippians says he stripped himself of that power, but he was anointed by God of the Holy Spirit. That's where the power came back into Jesus. He didn't do any miracle until after this time here when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important for the believer today to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said over in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, wait until you are endued with power from on high. You'll be clothed with this power, and now you're going to be able to be my witnesses. Now you're going to have that power to be my witnesses. And witnesses, that word, if you study it out, it does not mean just talking audibly. It means evidence provider. The world wants to see evidence that Jesus is Lord. They don't want to just hear, Jesus loves me, this I know. They're in a world of hurt. They've got chains and bondage, and they're living in all sorts of filth. And they don't like it. And just, Jesus loves me, this I know, isn't cutting it. And Jesus never told you to say that to him to make it work either. He said, I've given you the power. I've given you the authority. And we're going to see that as we go on. But he said here, verse 5, the devil took Jesus up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, all this authority I will give you. Where did Satan get that authority? From Adam. He stole it, but he got the authority. And so, nevertheless, Satan has the authority now. He had it for 4,000 years. But guess what? Jesus whooped up on him with a big stick. That's the cross. And he got back that authority. Now, I'm jumping ahead of myself. So, Adam lost everything. He lost the kingdom. He lost the image of God in him. That's why he was afraid. He hid himself because now they knew they were naked. And God said, Adam, where are you? And he says, oh, I was afraid. Where did fear come from? Comes from the devil. That's the first account of fear being recorded. He was afraid and he hid himself. And then what did they do? They sewed skin leaves together. See, that's man's attempt. But what did God do? He sacrificed and made skins of animals to cover them. So he didn't bail out on Adam and, you know, say, well, I'm just going to start over. No, he had a way. Jesus is that way. But it took 4,000 years to get everything into place to where Jesus could legally come into the earth and then legally whoop up on the devil. That's why the Bible says if the angels had known, if Satan and his angels had known what was going to happen, they wouldn't have crucified him. Because he was just one man running around doing miracles. Now we're all over the planet. Or we're supposed to be all over the planet doing miracles. Amen? All right, so what did Jesus, turn over to Luke 19. What did Jesus come to do? Well, too often in churches we just say, well, he came to save us from our sin. And that is true. That is true. But that's not the only thing he came to do. He came back to restore back what the devil took when he took everything from Adam. He came to restore everything back, not just that we missed it and had sin. In Luke chapter 19, Luke 19 and 10, I believe it is. We're going to go to 10:19 in a minute, but in Luke 19:10, verse 9, and Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Sozo, thank you. Sozo, S-O-Z-O. Sozo, you don't forget it. Sozo. Sozo means to heal. It means to recover. It means to save. It means to make whole. It means to preserve. It means to deliver. It means to do well. It means to make whole. That's what salvation is. It's all inclusive for us, spirit, soul, and body. If you're born again, how many are born again today? Well, then you're one-third perfect in your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. It was translated out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into his kingdom, made new, brand new, a new species that never existed before. So we're one-third perfect. What do we need to do? Renew our minds. And in verse 1 of Romans 12, it says, submit your bodies as to a sacrifice. We need to be holy, living holy in our bodies too. Then renew our minds so that our soulish realm will now line up with God's word. And now we can live in this kingdom that he's given us. Now, it says here that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. I wrote in here, it also means to recover. Recover that which was stolen away by the enemy. Okay, so that's why he came. Now, when this was recorded, it hadn't yet happened, but Jesus went to the cross, and we know he died for our sin, but Isaiah 53 is very clear that surely he hath borne our sickness and disease. Turn with me there. It's so important that you see this. We don't minimize that he died for our sins. I mean, it was the fact that sin came into the world that sickness came into the world. They go hand in hand. They're all from the enemy. It says, surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He bore our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. He carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sin. Thank you. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now look at this. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. How many times did Jesus say, I give you my peace? You need to receive that. Thank you, Jesus. And by his stripes, we are healed. So he took care of our physical body as well. And scripture, you know, supports that in Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2 and 24 and other places. There's many scriptures where he shows us what he did. So the kingdom is restored through Jesus to us when we're in him. So if you're born again, the kingdom's been restored to you. Just like the kingdom that was placed in Adam, it's placed in you when you get born again. Now, this kingdom, he says over in Luke, I think it's 17. That's John. Yeah, Luke 17, verse 20. Now, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see it here or see it there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. It's inside you. They thought he was going to restore up his kingdom, and they were saying, when are you going to do it, and where's it going to be? And he says, ha ha. I'm doing something different. Nobody expected this. I'm going to put it inside of my people. So his government is inside of us. And when we operate his government correctly, we get his ways of doing things and we get his results. See, we've been brought up in a country that has a democracy, and God's not a democracy. You know, you're not voting, and how many believe God, and how many don't like what God said? See, they did that. His children did that when the spies came back. 12 of them come back, and 10 of them said, yeah, they all agreed it was a great land. But they said, no, we're as grasshoppers because there's big giants there. And only Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take this land that you've given us. And so in later on in chapter 14 of Numbers, God said, I'm very angry with these people. And they all murmured against Moses and said, you know, we don't want to go in just to be slaughtered. That's what they had in their mindset. They would rather go back to Egypt. You know, every day you have an opportunity to go back to Egypt. You can go back to where it's comfortable. I mean, it was comfortable to them. They had not known anything else 400 years. But you can always go back and to where it's not demanding of you to do something. See, accountability. We as Christians, we have accountability. And sometimes it means stepping out of our comfort zone. Sometimes. How about all the time? All the time. No matter what God asks you to do. You know, it actually says in the Gospel of John, and there was a dialogue there, and it was talking about, well, would you do what I ask you to do? And he says, well, what is it, Lord? Well, would you do it? But Lord, what is it? See, we want to question and find out, is it going to be comfortable enough for us? You know, we kind of joke in the ministry, well, you know, I don't want to ask God what he wants for me because he might send me to Siberia. That would be a bad place, wouldn't it? But unless you like cold, if you want a snowmobile, they don't even start up there, though it's so cold. See, you could sit on it and freeze your tushy, but anyway. But we need to be willing to say, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And then listen to him and do it. He might be tugging at your heart right now or this week at somebody at work that he wants you to speak to. And you're afraid. See, there's that fear again. That's Satan talking to you. You might not know what to say. Step out in faith and the Holy Spirit will talk to you and tell you what to say. Don't let the enemy paralyze you with fear. Fear paralyzes your faith. The other day I was watching, it doesn't matter what I was watching, but there was a woman and she was talking about fear. She was on television and she gave an explanation of fear and faith, and she held up her coffee cup and she said, if that's half full of fear, then that's half that faith can't occupy. Faith and fear occupy the same place in our hearts. And so you can't tolerate just a little bit of fear. It's going to be 100% faith. That's when miracles happen. And that's why we share the word of God before we lay hands or before we pray with somebody to get their faith built up, because they're still in fear. I've ministered to people before, and the Lord just says, you know, just don't hurry into saying, well, I've come to pray with you. You know, talk to them. Listen. I'll share this again. Shared it with my grandkids a few weeks ago. God gave you two ears and one mouth. That means we should listen twice as much as we talk. That's just good wisdom for us every day. Because I was riding in the car, and I had my three grandchildren, and they're all talking at the same time to each other. I'm thinking, dear Lord, they can't even understand what they're saying because three different conversations going on. And so I took a moment to put some wisdom nuggets into them. And Haley says, oh, I didn't think of that. I said, well, now you take that with you the rest of your life. I says, that'll help you. Anyway, so we see here that he says the kingdom of God does not come with observation. It's inside of you. It's God's governmental system. It's the way he does things. He's deposited them inside us. So we've got the goods. Say, I've got the goods. But now I've got to believe it, just like we sang. I got to believe it. I got to receive it. And now I got to activate it. Everybody has that inside of them. Every one of you's got the fruit of the Spirit. That's the attributes of God. You've all got them, but you've got to be willing to operate out of them. Love being the biggest one. And then joy, and then peace, and on and on. Self-control, that's a big one. You can't just fly off the handle. Now, as a baby Christian, When you first get saved, that's going to happen. If you are a good cusser, you're probably going to still cuss for a while. But 30 years later, you shouldn't still have a problem cussing. Something's wrong. Because your spirit's going to convict you of that, and you're not going to, why did I say that? Why did I say that? I gave an example a few weeks back when I just told my wife, I said, I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me. And then I just felt yucky on the inside. I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It made me feel yucky. Why? Because my spirit doesn't like confrontation and doesn't like yelling and strife. Paul talked about when there's division and when there's strife in the body, he said, I got to go back to the ABCs again and talk to you because you're not ready for the meat of the word again. Well, I want to keep us going in the direction of learning more deep things of God because he wants us to know them and understand them. Amen. I want him to be proud of you when you get to heaven. And he says, you already know that? Yeah. Yeah, I heard that from the Holy Spirit way back when. I don't have to go to such and such class 101 when I get to heaven and be taught. I don't know. I've heard some say that we're going to learn. I don't know if we're just going to all have instant learning or whether we're going to have to go to classes. But anyway, if you sit beside me, you're not cheating. But if I'm there, then it's something I don't know. Amen. I don't know everything. I never proposed that I did. But anyway, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He says it's been put inside of you. In 1 John 3:8, you don't need to turn there, but write it down. It says, for this purpose, Christ was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy, not just harass the devil. We're supposed to destroy those things. Now, this week I was reading in the newspaper that our governor signed into law that they're decriminalizing marijuana. So I want your help, and I'd like somebody to help me because I believe we need to be more involved in politics, and that's just the making of policy, but they need to hear our voice because we've been given the authority on this planet, and we're not supposed to tolerate what the devil does. And so I'm going to ask if there would be somebody willing, you don't need to raise your hands now, pray about it, if there would be somebody willing to help me when this legislation that comes up that we need to get our voice, that you could craft something and that people at their will could sign and we can get it to Concord. Okay? I felt impressed on that, I think it was yesterday when I was praying. It's just like, we've been too silent. I want Mr. Sununu to know I'm not happy about that. I mean, today it's 15 ounces you can have, and what's it going to be 3 years from now? Oh, give him a break. Just let him have a couple pounds. I mean, so would you want your kids being taught of school teachers that are high on dope? Would you want your doctor, your physician that you go in, and he's high in a kite, and he's doing a physical exam? I mean, come on, let's think about it. They decriminalize it, and it's just like, well, anybody can do it. I believe that there'll be Christians that'll say, well, if it's legal, let's just do it. God's word is final authority in your life, not the laws of this land. We obey the laws of the land, but when they come and come against God's law, you don't do them. So, again, if there's nobody here, maybe somebody listening online, I want somebody to be able to help me and keep up with what's going on, and then we can present it. And I'm not saying I'm asking you to sign it. You need to go before the Lord. But if you feel convicted as I do, that we need to put our voice as a Christian, as an anointed one, as an ambassador for Christ, then we need to let legislation know. Because not saying anything is just the same as agreeing with them. If we all say nothing, it's just like we're agreeing with it. Come on. Look, I know it's hot in here, but it's hotter in hell. It's hotter in hell. It's not hotter than hell. But you need to hear this. You need to hear this. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. So we didn't read the whole account of it in Luke 4, but we saw when the devil was coming at Jesus and tempting him, every time he responded, it is written, it is written, it is written. How many times did he do that? Three times that's recorded. It says he was out there for 40 days. I don't think the devil gave up that easy. He came at him every day. We only need three times for him to say, it is written, it is written, it is written. Can you get that, church? Jesus said it's written. You need to say it's written. Tell the devil, take a hike. It's written. But you have to know the word in order to be able to say it's written. If you don't know it's written, he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So that's why it's so important that you know the word of God. So in Matthew 28, this is the Great Commission. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Isn't that interesting? They saw him die on the cross. He died. They didn't see him in the tomb. He's gone. He's risen. And then when he appeared, they didn't believe the ones that reported it. Some doubted. Some doubted. I always wondered about in Acts chapter 1, where they waited in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. And there's how many up in the upper room? 120. How many did Jesus appear before and show himself after he was raised up out of hell? Over 500. Some must have gone boating and gone to work, back to work. Got to go fishing. Got to go back to work. I can't believe that they had seen that and then they didn't show up for prayer meeting. But Jesus said, all authority's been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus got it back. Jesus got back the authority that Satan had stolen. Hallelujah. One hallelujah. Thank you. Jesus got back the authority. Okay, so Jesus has got it. But then he delegates it to you and to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. That's why we have discipleship class. We're discipling. We're training up. He didn't say, go make converts. Yes, we need to get them into the kingdom. Yes, but don't leave them there. He's interested so much in getting people discipled. That's why Jesus said this. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20 closely here. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So I went through the Gospels, and everything I saw Jesus command the disciples, I realized is for me and for you. When he said, let's go to Mark 16, because he specifically says it there. Here he just says, go make disciples. How many know you need to look at the reports in more than one place, more than one location in God's word, if you want to get correct discerning? Mark 16, Jesus said, same time, this is Mark's account, he said, Jesus said to them in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he didn't say disciple, he said preach the gospel. That's how Mark accounts it. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Look at this. Mark says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Mark's account of Jesus' life is one of miracles. He says immediately things happened. Straightway things happened. Miracles happened according is the way Mark presented them. And so here he shows us we're going to do these miracles too. You lay hands on the sick. You cast out the devil. Well, if you're going to cast out a demon, you have to, number one, have the authority to, authority given. You have to have the power to. But even if you've got that, you still have to believe it in order to do it. And that's in every time. That's in every time. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. Notice it's for the believers, not for the Christians. Not a subtle difference. Big difference. You can get born again and you're going to heaven, but you could not believe in laying on hands and you could never partake of that. You could be born again going to heaven and the devil could have havoc in your life all your life. You could live a miserable Christian life. I see miserable Christians. Been Christians 30, 40 years, and they're miserable. Well, it's because they don't know they have the authority. They don't know God's delegated through his son authority to get things done here on the planet. Because why did God have to wait 4,000 years? Why couldn't, when Adam sinned, just say, time out, we're going to start over? No, because God had to honor his word. He had the power to do something, but he had to honor his word. That's why he let that happen. That's why he lets you do things that you shouldn't do, and you do. Because he's given us a free will. But there's just because he's given us a free will and we live in this dispensation called grace, grace is not a license to sin. Don't think that it's just under the rug and it will never be revealed. Bible says we're going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. Rewards are going to be given and rewards are going to be taken away. You'll have to know why the rewards are taken away. And it's to do with how we behave here on this planet, whether good or whether bad. Now, that's not a gospel many people in the church want to hear, but that's the truth. And Romans 14 and 12 said, each one of us is going to give an account. When I learned that, I was in my early 30s. I changed the way I lived. I changed the thoughts that I would think on. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I am, but I endeavored to go the way of Christ from that point on. When not just because I was afraid of it, but I began to see God's goodness in a real way in my life. Before it, I believed it, but I never received it. I was born again. I was going to heaven, but I never really received the benefits that God had for me. So consequently, I didn't live in the blessing. So consequently, I couldn't tell anybody else about God being a good God other than Jesus loves you. He paid for your sins. And that was the extent of my witness. And you know what? That was difficult for me to witness because that's all I had. And I didn't, quite honestly, I didn't think that was good enough, you know. Well, Jesus loves you and he'll forgive you for your sins, but why is your life a mess? You know, in front of my friends in my early 20s, why are you still out drinking with them? Why are you even at that party? See, I was a hypocrite at one point in my life because I got born again at 14. But you know, every time I went to a party, I felt icky on the inside. I literally would take a bottle of beer and go in the bathroom and pour it down the toilet. And everybody else has had 8 or 10 beers, and, you know, I probably had 3-4 ounces. I just had to say, no more. No more. Yeah, I'm telling on myself, but you got a history too. None of us are righteous. Our self-righteousness is as rags. But I'm telling you that Jesus saves. And he's forgiven you for your sin. And it doesn't matter if you drank 1 beer or 100 beers. Doesn't matter. He's forgiven you. Doesn't matter if you lied once or lied 100,000 times. He's forgiven you. But you've got to believe that and you've got to receive it. Or you're still going to feel icky on this planet. You're going to still, your spirit is just going to go cross with what you know in your mind, in your soulish realm, until you get your mind renewed. All right, moving right along. So Jesus delegated the authority. Luke 10:19. I knew we were coming to that at some point. We went to 19:10. Now it's 10:19. And here, Jesus in verse 1 had sent out 70 people that he sent out. He said, the harvest is truly great, verse 2, but the laborers are few. He said, I'm sending you out into the harvest. He said, when you enter a city and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Verse 9, heal the sick there. He sent them out to do what? Heal the sick there. Mark 16, 20, he said, I command you to do all that I commanded them to do. You go and do the same things I commanded them to do. This is one thing he commanded them. That's a commandment. That's not an option. Well, I just don't like it. Well, I just don't. I don't like sickness. I don't like seeing people riddled with cancer and on oxygen and can't breathe. I don't like seeing sickness and disease. It reminds me of Satan. I don't like the effects it has on people. I don't like the effects alcoholism has on people. It destroys lives. It destroys families. When little kids are in the middle of it all. Why doesn't mom love me? Why doesn't dad love me? Why doesn't dad want me around? They take it on themselves, and the enemy will play right into those little kids, and they'll grow up with mindsets that God is not a good God. He doesn't even exist. Boy, this is coming out different. Yeah. We'll have massages for toes afterwards. Hey, I'm preaching to me too. God bless you. He does. 2 Corinthians 5. Jump over there with me. Verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's an assignment that we have. Not just the pastor, the priest, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. No, you. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. Now then, we, say me, I'm an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador is one that has authority. An ambassador to the United States in China has authority of and the full backing of the United States of America. They have the authority. You go to the embassy, there's authority there for the country represented. You represent Jesus himself. You represent God's kingdom. And where is God's kingdom? It's within me. So I carry it. I felt the Lord impressed this week that I'm not personally doing enough about what's going on in the legislature. I can send a memo. I can make a phone call. I'm going to do that. And I believe we all need to do that. If the body of Christ collectively would begin to do that, we can get things changed. We'd get things changed. All of a sudden, you get a letter with a couple thousand signatures on it. Say, guess what, buddy? I'm not voting for you again if you don't smarten up, fly right. I want you to go back and tell them you're going to repeal this thing. I don't want them to just know I'm upset about it. I want them to do something about it. I don't like this drug epidemic worldwide. Making decisions like that, that's going to help it? I think not. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Is anybody getting anything out of this? I know those of you in the discipleship class are touching on some of this, and you will. You'll touch on all of it. But you need to know it. Matthew 6, Jesus is talking here. I have a little heading in my Bible. It says the model prayer. We're not supposed to recite this. Some people think reciting this does something magical. It doesn't. He said, verse 9, in this manner, therefore pray. He didn't say pray this prayer. He said, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That's the pattern for how we govern in God's kingdom on the planet. What we see in heaven, that's what we want to see in the earth. It's got to connect. You can't, I don't care how much faith you think you're mustering up, you can't have faith for something that God does not authorize. Because you're trying to put your faith in God to do something that he says, I'm not going to do that. I usually give an example. You know, I used to have a neighbor dog that bark, 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 and they left him out all night long, and it's just like, I wanted to shoot the thing. But I loved the dog, so I didn't really want to shoot the dog. I wanted to shoot the people. Boy, I wonder if Sean's listening to this. I used to call him at 3:30 in the morning. And he was always good, but then he got a helpmate, and they got married. She did not like me calling at 3:30 in the morning. And she let me know. But I said, I don't like your dog barking under my window at 3:30 in the morning. So here's the remedy. Bring your dog in. I don't call you. I get to sleep. My kids get to sleep. That was when they were real little. His kingdom come. His kingdom has come now, hasn't it? It's inside of us. It's inside of us. Amen. So turn over to John chapter 6. Quickly, we're going to come in for a landing here. John 6:38, Jesus said here, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who was sent me." So that would be the Father. Jesus didn't have his own agenda. There's other scripture that says everything. Jesus said, everything that I say, I hear my Father say. Everything I do, I see my Father do first. See, that's a pattern for you and for me too. He wants us to bring healing to people. Then you've got to see and know by the word of God that that's his will. Remember Luke 5:12, that leper said, "Jesus, I know you can heal me. I've heard the miracles, but are you willing?" He just didn't know if he was willing. And what did Jesus say? "I am." He touched him. He touched him, then said, "I'm willing." And that man was healed from leprosy. So that authority has been given to you and to me. His works become our works. Turn with me to the 14th chapter of John. His works become our works. So we're not doing discipleship class just to give you knowledge. It's to give you knowledge of now how to operate in the kingdom, and God is going to hold you accountable to what you know. So if you don't want to know anymore, don't come here, because I'm not going to stop preaching the word. We got to be willing to be obedient to the Father, because we are his representations in the earth. God's not doing things in the earth outside of man. He's using man. He's using apostles, pastors, preachers, evangelists to preach the word, but he also said, you do it too. They're all coming together to teach and to raise up so that you can do the work of the ministry. We're all in this together. It's like if you ever grew up in a big family, you all had chores, didn't you? And you all had to do them. Well, there's consequences. Well, you know, the consequence for being disobedient, as I said earlier, can have the same effect of the curse, looking like the curse. If you don't want to be obedient to the way God instructs you to be, then where are you getting your instruction? Not from him, so it's coming from the world, which Satan is the god of this world system. So, yeah, we don't go out intentionally wanting to operate in Satan's system, but by voiding yourself of God's system, you are. Like I said earlier, by us not voicing our opinion in Concord is just as much like we're okay with it. And we're not okay with it. Okay? I'm not okay with it. I have 9 grandchildren. I don't want them growing up thinking they can just smoke pot because it's legal and snub their nose at their parents. I'm helping you parents. But we need to walk right ourselves. You know, we need to demonstrate. Come on. So here we see that Jesus says that I only do what the Father says. And then he says in verse 12, "Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Do you know God is very big on you doing works? Works don't get you saved. That's where confusion in the church is. Oh, don't talk about works. Once you get born again, he wants you to be working. He says a lot about being lazy. Don't be a lazy couch Christian potato. Well, God's just going to bless me. No, God's got ways to bless you, and you've got to cooperate with that. He wants everybody to get saved, but you've got to be willing to receive him in order to do that. You can't just say, well, I know if God wants me saved, he'll save me. You know, there are people that say that and they're in hell today. If he just wants me to be saved because he's in total control, that's a lie of the enemy. God's not in total control, friend. Not in your life, he's not. You can choose to come Sunday or you could choose not to come on Sunday. God's not making you come. He's not making you be good to your spouse. He's not making you not cheat at work. He allows you to do any of that stuff. Is that his will? No. Don't go trying to point to God's word to, you know, your circumstances to validate God's word. God's word stands by itself. We don't need our circumstances. Well, so-and-so didn't get healed. I don't know the why, but there's a reason. I just don't know what it is. It's not God, because Jesus suffered horrible for that healing. It could just be that in that person's heart, they didn't receive it. Oh, that's cruel to say that. I don't say that to people, but I had a woman come, and she came and wanted to disprove healing today. And after the service, you know who that is. I went over and I was talking to her, and she said, I left my scriptures at home. She wanted to disprove by God's word that healing wasn't for today. And took her like 5 minutes to get out the door. She's racked in pain, wouldn't let me pray for her. And I got down on my knees with the word of God open for 15 minutes and showed her. I said, she was talking about being persecuted. I said, he's talking about persecution from people, not physically. God never told you had to suffer persecution as in a way of sickness. A lot of people believe that. That's taught in churches. So I said, show me the scriptures. And every one of them they totally had wrong understanding of it. So you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. So I don't know why. Just because they showed up for Healing Line doesn't mean that their heart's right either. Because there's three parts to healing. God has made it available, and we can present it to them, but they've got to do the third. They've got to receive it. And somebody that doesn't want to receive anything from God, they don't have to get it. They can choose not to. All right. Skipped a page. So we saw, I'm just going to recap, because we're finished. Matthew 28, all authority's been given to me. You go, therefore, make disciples. He delegated that authority. Mark 16, in my name, we sang about the name, the power of the name. That name's been given to you and been given to me. You lay hands on the sick. You cast out the devils. Demons. There's one devil. Don't get hung up when I say that. This devil and his rank of demons. Acts 1:8. Here's where there's an endowment of power that you need. He said, you'll be witnesses for me. I talked about it earlier. You need that power. You're not going to do miracles without the power. He said, but Pastor, I'm afraid to do miracles. Afraid comes from fear, comes from Satan. Stop tolerating fear. I heard one minister say this, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. God needs you and I to operate in faith. So we have to believe him. We have to act on what we believe. That's the simplest definition I can give you of faith. It's acting on what you believe. Amen? I'm going to close with this scripture in Ephesians. And I'm going to let you go and enjoy the day. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, I thought I'd get a shout from somebody Monday night. They get all wicked excited when I do Monday night prayer. Amen, you do. You just have to come and find out if they get excited. I'm not sure. Nobody got excited. They do. They want to do their little jigs. And verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and for your love for all the saints. I just love how Paul starts this. And for your love for all the saints. You know, friend, we need to love all the saints. There's too much discord in the church today. There's too much divisiveness. There's too much lying. There's too much gossip. But here, if we want to see the power of God work, we're going to have love for the saints. He says in verse 16, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. So that's a gift. That's something you have in Christ. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Amplified says it this way. I think it more accurately conveys the picture. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. See, it didn't say who are Christians. It said for him who believes. Some of you may have never heard that before. But you can be a Christian and go to heaven and not believe a lot of what's in the Bible. You just have to believe in Jesus. Accept him as your Savior. And you can be disobedient and still go to heaven. And I think we see too many people in the body of Christ today that aren't making Jesus their Lord. See, making Jesus your Lord is saying, Jesus, you call the shots in my life. What I read, what I watch, what I do, who I hang around. Everything. Where I work, where I live, where I go to church. It's up to the Lord, not up to you. You've been bought with a price. He says, I'm holy, therefore you be holy. We're commanded to be holy. I know that's a gospel people don't like to hear either. Oh, I have to live a holy life. Yes, you do. Yes, I do. I'm going to come face to face before Jesus. I want him smiling. I want to see pools of love in his eyes, not the fire in his eyes. God loves you. This is a good message. You need to understand this. You need to take this to heart. So he says, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things, say all things, under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Amplified says, he's put all things under his feet, appointed him the universal supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church. We exercise the headship of Jesus Christ on this planet, which is his body, verse 23, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself.